Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Go.
Thank you, Margaret. I don't know whether we'll use that or not.
Well, it was live, so you'll have to use it.
No, I know that, but I just, whether we'll actually have you do the announcing. But nonetheless, welcome to the show. That was Margaret Gray. Bud, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. I hope you had a safe trip and everything.
Yeah, you have a safe trip back? I did have a safe trip back. Thank you, Robert Leonard, with us as well. Was in San Francisco over the weekend, and as somebody very smartly, insolently, but funny, said on the Facebook page, "Phil, the game's in Atlanta." Ha, ha, ha. And I said, "Geez, that's terrible. The game's in Atlanta. Oh, wait a second. I don't care." Kind of a spin on...
the Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais's I don't give an F. But anyway, I wasn't going to San Francisco for the game. I was going to San Francisco for the friendship, for the camaraderie, for the fraternity, for the folks that I know there. And that's what I did. I had a blast, had a lot to eat, had a lot to drink. In fact, had too much to eat and too much to drink, and I feel like warmed over, like the old song by the Village Fugs, I feel like homemade S-H.
You're not going to say it.
No, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're online, more importantly, at philhendryshow.com. You can get a backstage pass and watch the live streaming video of our show right now, which is going. We've got a website that within the next 48 hours, will become anew, a brand new look, and with it, live streaming for Apple products, iPhone and iPad. That will be within 48 hours at the outside. I know I'm quoting a time frame here, and I promised my pre-show subscribers that I wouldn't do that, but they know, the people that were watching the pre-show, what I really mean, and that most likely I'm lying right now.
Well, are you lying?
Oh, I'm not lying. I'm kidding. I'm not lying. I'm giving you the outside, because that's at the very, very outside, 48 hours. So what can I tell you? Isn't this the part of the show where a guy is supposed to...
Yeah, well, this part, if you went out, you're supposed to start off... Well, here, let me tell people.
You're supposed to get off the phone.
It's not the phone, it's a microphone.
God, man. You don't have a microphone? I meant to say microphone. What are you doing, bud?
I'm talking to people.
You can talk to them there, man. You don't have to. That's why I got this mic backed off of you guys. You don't know how to use it.
But if I get
away from the microphone. What?
This is where you say, hello, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry, and here's what I did on the weekend. A very interesting thing happened as I,
Right, okay, fine. Hi, everybody, I'm Phil Hendry. Here's what happened to me over the weekend. Nothing.
Well, something, but...
Yeah, we had a lot to drink and eat and stuff like that. The only thing that happened of any interest for me wasn't even really interest. It was just I had a conference call. I was trying to do a business call as I was driving home. But by the way, for those of you that drive in California and have lived here for a long time, there's one route, there's two routes north-south that have traditionally been the way most people go between Los Angeles and San Francisco. One is Interstate 5, which goes up the guts of the San Joaquin Valley, and then it comes into the Bay Area from, pardon the expression, the back door. And anyway, it comes in from the east, and then you swing west. You go over the Altamont, remember the Altamont?
The Altamont phase. That the...
Go back, back, and look up the name?
I guess. Anyway, it goes over the Altamont and then through the east side, the East Bay, Oakland, etc., and then you go across the bridge. Then there is the older traditional route of 101. That goes up through Ventura County, kind of follows a more coastal route, heads up through Salinas, towns like that, King City, goes up through San Jose, and it goes up the peninsula, and then into downtown San Francisco. Now, that's the way that I took. Most people would say, are you crazy? That takes for... Oh, it used to take a long time. It doesn't anymore. Because...
Well, they stopped... They built it through, I know, in Santa Barbara. The lights aren't there.
Right. So, in other words, 101 used to be part freeway, and at times it was part city street. It depended upon where you were. It used to be something that would hit stoplights in Santa Barbara, it hit stoplights in San Luis Obispo, then it would open up the freeway again, then it would hit stoplights, and it was a stop and start kind of a journey, and you didn't want to take it, and so, you know, to hell with that. But that doesn't exist any longer, and now it takes just about the same amount of time, if not maybe even a little bit less, because I hate to say this, but I don't exactly observe the speed limit as I should.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
What does it mean? You're not going too fast?
Are you breaking the speed limit?
Yes, I am.
Well, is that something you want to say?
What am I going to get arrested now all of a sudden?
Well, it's not good on a listener. Bad influence.
Yeah, but a lot of people do break a speed limit, but for you to say it...
For me to say what? They're going to go out and break the speed limit now that I said that?
It's a double standard, Phil. It's a hypocrisy that I think at this particular time in the media, especially in talk radio, that has... We've seen so much disappointment on the part of so many hosts to live up to a standard of decency. And now here you are.
Lying about how fast I go on a freeway.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right, well, yes, I break the speed limit.
By how much?
What is this? All of a sudden some...
Phil, we need to know how much.
What are you talking about?
What's the speed limit of San Joaquin? How fast you go?
It's 65 miles an hour.
And how fast were you going?
90.
Oh, my...
Jesus.
Oh, will you give me a break?
I gotta call Mr. Hall now.
What do you mean you gotta... What? Wait, hold up. Before you call... What is this, anyway?
Phil, right now, there is a crisis in the media. We've got too many of these reprobate and unprincipled and unmoral hosts, especially in talk radio and sports radio. And you come along here and...
Yes.
Oh, get out of here. If you think for 1 minute I'm buying it, you guys are upset that I'm doing... I went 90 miles an hour, okay?
And you're willing to live with that?
You will sign an affidavit to that effect.
Sign an affidavit?
Will you or will you not?
Yeah, sure, I'll sign an affidavit to that effect. Where's this going?
In your employment file, in the personnel file.
Get out of here! This has got to be a joke.
Do I look like I'm joking?
Yeah, sort of. And it ain't even April yet. It's going to go into my personnel file that I went 90 on the freeway. I love that. Well, you know what? I'm not buying it, so that's just all there is to that. I went 90, and there were times that I might even have gone faster than 90, maybe even 95.
Were you passing people going the wrong... In other words, were you in the wrong way lane?
You never mind about all the questions, please. I was... Look, when you get out on the open highway and there's some jackass crawling in front of you, yeah, I went around him and I went fast. Okay? And one of the reasons why I did it is I didn't... You know, I wanted to get home. I didn't want to spend all bloody day out on the freeways of the Golden State, man. So I just got, you know, I got on it. And I got from San Francisco. I left at 10 a.m. yesterday morning, and I got home at 11 a.m.
What?
I'm kidding. No, I didn't.
No, man, that like speed of light.
No, that's not the speed of light, but that's pretty... Well, that's 300 miles an hour. No, I got home at 3:30. So that's 5.5 hours. It's not that fast.
That should be a trip that takes at least 7 hours.
No, not on the new 101. Are you listening to what I'm saying? On the 101 now, with all of the lights gone, it's a 6-hour trip easy. It used to be 8 hours on that bloody thing. That's why nobody wanted to go on that freeway. 5.5 hours, okay? And I got to tell you, you know, there were times, not many, but there were times that I almost ran afoul of the man they call the Smokey.
What? The bear?
No. It's trucker term for highway patrol.
Oh, the state trooper.
You mean a state patrol?
Or the highway patrol?
Yes, thank you. Almost ran afoul of those guys. California Highway Patrol, I'm sure they're much like all the other so-called, you know, state troopers or state police. They don't play. The sheriff, the city cop, he may give you a little leeway because who knows, he may see you again. You know, we all live in the same town. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Henry? And there's Officer So-and-so. This, that. Highway Patrol, they don't care. They're never going to see your ass again. They'll drop a freaking ticket on you so fast you won't believe it. Speeding, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, you had the ticket on that. I can't believe you did that. Taking a picture while...
Whoa. Didn't you tell me that you do that?
I'm a journalist.
What difference does it make?
What, did you hear this? What difference? I happen to be a journalist, Phil. If I see something that's newsworthy...
You said newsworthy.
So what?
She misspoke.
What a petty, lopsided head. If I see something that's newsworthy, I'll take a picture of it.
So, like you told me 2 weeks ago, that you took a picture of something with both hands, okay, on the camera.
Yes.
Should I tell people?
If you don't make it sound filthy. No, I'll tell it. I took a picture, ladies and gentlemen, using both hands on my camera, on my iPhone, of the inside of my pantyhose. They had split. And these were brand new pantyhose by a major brand. I had just purchased them. So I had the phone down between...
Can I finish?
Well...
Hold on. She had the phone down between her legs, taking a picture. Okay? With no hands on the wheel. The highway patrol pulls her over and asked Frank, right?
Yes.
And Frank had to come clean and said, yes, officer, he was taking a picture between his legs. And what did...
Well, the Frank has the gender confusion, and so they thought Frank was drunk. But even though they thought he was drunk, they thought I was so far gone, they asked Frank to drive.
Because you were taking a picture of... We're going to take a break here, folks, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're not just going to let it sit there, are you?
Margaret, what do you want me to say? You had a camera down between your legs. You took a picture as your husband said, yeah, he was taking a picture. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More on the Manti Te'o story. More on the Manti Te'o story.
Okay, just, truth. Never mind. It's more on that bitch. Story.
Never mind.
The Phil Hendry Show.
It's a bitch, man.
It's a bitch. Just more on that story. Just more and more and more.
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Frank Gray joining us. You wanted to talk to Frank, right?
Yes, I did. Frank?
Hold on. I just want to let people know it's the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have Frank Gray, Margaret's husband, on the line. We wanted to talk to him about this whole idea that I was speeding. I came back from San Francisco yesterday. I was doing 90. I'm not proud of this. I didn't know I had to sign an affidavit to be given to Mr. Hall to prove that I'm somehow a rapscallion or a scofflaw, given the fact that most talk show hosts in his mind and in the minds of many today, most talk show hosts are moral reprobates, are lower than low, are no better than child molesters. When did this all start anyway?
All I know is what David asked. He said he doesn't want any more hosts associated with this company with the kind of reprehensible, disgusting, and unprincipled reputations that a lot of you people have now, you know.
You people.
Yeah, it's not like, I'm not saying you're black, so don't be offended by it.
Not talking about being black, man.
Yeah, but some people be offended by it.
Yeah, you would. All right, hold on. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, I'm better than Custergut, man. How are you?
I'm good. Have you heard about this?
Have I heard about what?
Have you heard about talk show hosts being held to such a... the talk show hosts are being looked at askance or askew, radio hosts, for having low morals that they're having to, I don't know, sign affidavits?
Well, you know, there's a morals clause in most of the contracts, but I have seen, and I think most of us have seen in the news and elsewhere, that some of these hosts... maybe not yourself, Phil, but some of them are, you know, involved in drug abuse and sex with an underage girl, and it's not good. I think the talk radio game is up, and they're gonna.
Frank, stay close to the phone, dear.
I'm sorry. What did he say?
He said, "Stay close to the phone."
Oh, okay.
All right. Margaret tells me that you were in the car. When was this, Margaret?
It was in December. It was before Christmas.
Oh. the famous pantyhose episode. Is that the one?
Yes.
All right. Well, okay. So what happened?
Well, what happened was he gets pulled over because of He didn't have both hands on the wheel. He was taking a picture of his pantyhose because the crotch split on them.
Well, it wasn't the crotch. It wasn't as if I was trying to get a shot. It wasn't like I was trying to get some early morning dew, okay?
I understand it, but the fact of the matter remains, okay? He's there with a camera, Phil, and he's got the thing stuck right between his legs, trying to get a shot right up the old, you know, trying to get one, get a shot right up Main Street. And,
oh, God.
And what do you mean, oh, God?
I was trying to get a picture of the split in the pantyhose.
All right, okay. But the fact of the matter remains that when the cop walked up to the window, and I'll tell you, she was a big 6'5", and I asked her, I said, you play football? She said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do, or I did. And she was a big, big beast, a big, big, tough-looking dude. And she says to Margaret, how come you were getting a shot of your Royal American or something like that?
No, the cop didn't say that.
Well, something along those lines, didn't she?
The police officer said, were you holding that trying to get some kind of a cheesecake on yourself? And I said, are you listening to yourself, officer? Why would I do that? Because I saw you do that. Now, how he could see that, I don't know.
That's a good question. How could he see that?
Well, I think she was, apparently, he was fumbling with the camera when she walked up to the window. And she said, are you trying to get a shot up Main Street, yes or no? And I had to laugh.
Did you see she had a shot up Main Street?
Yeah, I did. But you're trying to get a shot up Main Street. And she said, it looks like you're trying to get a shot up Main Street. And someone parked a truck in front of the... And,
well, it wasn't funny to me.
No, I understand that. So in any event, so this cop says, all right, everybody out. Get out, you know. And so we had to get out. She breathalyzed us both and said, well, you know, neither you nor him are drunk, but I'm going to have you drive because even though you've been referring to me in the wrong gender, this is what he's saying to me. I don't know what he's talking about.
Ooh, Margaret?
Yeah. Margaret's saying to me, even though you've been referring to her in the wrong gender, I should say, because now you're talking about Margaret, right?
Who was talking to you?
The cop was talking to me about Margaret and said, even though you're referring to him in the wrong gender...
Yeah, okay.
What's wrong with you people?
Frank, it's difficult to understand you at times because of this gender confusion.
I don't know what you're talking about, okay?
All right, so anyway, the cop made you drive.
Yes, the cop asked me to drive, and I said, all right, officer. And she handed me my license back. She gave Margaret his license back, and she got into her car, and I said to her, I said, who'd you play for? And she said, New Mexico. And I said, well, geez, that's fantastic. And I said, what did you play? And she said, tight end. And I said, ha, ha, ha. And he, and Margaret, well, he went, you know, what's that supposed to mean? You know, is she queer? And
Okay, anyway, Frank, thank you very much. I just wanted to get this cleared up. So Margaret was trying to take a picture of her pantyhose, and it looked like she was...
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to get a picture of right up, you know, right up the alleyway, right up into the bullseye into the cavity of creation, and into the...
All right, so I had to...
You're hanging up on my husband.
Yes, I am, Margaret, because I can't keep listening to that babbling. I got to get moving, okay? I got to get moving and grooving. So what we have here is you telling me all about my reprobate ways, and you're getting a picture, not that you're getting a picture of anything wrong, you're taking a picture of your split pantyhose, but you're driving with no hands on your on the wheel, okay?
No hands on my what?
Get hands on her what?
Huh?
You said she didn't have no hands on her.
Phil, I'm going to quit or I'm going to kill. It's one of those two.
Bud, you had no hands on your wheel.
And what do you mean by my wheel? That's what I'm trying to get at.
The wheel of the car!
Yeah, she thought you meant a sex organ.
What did you say?
Well, isn't that what you meant?
Yes, but I don't need you telling me.
Are you trying to tell me that you thought I was saying that you had both? Hey, you didn't have both?
I want to be clear that what you're talking about is not something that is prurient or that is going to get me into even deeper trouble with the audience. Now...
we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with Manti Te'o and not Margaret's having both hands on the wheel of the car.
All right, as long as you're not saying sex organ.
That's what I said.
I don't want you saying it. I want to say it.
You're sorry. If he said you had both hands on your sex organ.
All right, that does it.
Hey, oh!
Get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have Grady Fisher on the line with us, who is a reporter for Fisher In Brief. It's an independent news organization that is edited by Grady himself and has been, it's one of the independent news operations we hear so much about, one of them being, although however independent, I should say, smaller than the larger news operations, one of them being Deadspin. And Deadspin was the website that first reported on the Manti Te'o girlfriend story, whether the the girlfriend being a hoax. Grady is on the line with us here from Los Angeles. And Grady, I wanted to ask you about this story being in the, relatively in the same kind of work that these guys at Deadspin are in, which is, you know, trying to scoop the big guys. There was an article in the New York Times about how Deadspin got it and ESPN didn't. This story. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, yes, I have a comment, and my comment would be simply this, Bill, that the New York Times should spend more time on reporting the news and less time on criticizing the opposing news organization. ESPN is going to do what ESPN does. ESPN, in my opinion, has not been worth its own weight in you name it, in raccoon drop-ins or manure or what have you for a long time. I think ESPN is wonderful at reporting what we already know, and I think they're good at reporting scores, and I think they're good at reporting that, but I don't think they're good at reporting news that has not yet broke, and they just never have been. The New York Times taking a pot shot at ESPN, I think, is low, and I think is kind of irrelevant, because New York Times, ESPN has never been worth a pinch of coon, you know what, like as I said, you know, and neither is the New York Times, for that matter.
All right, so it's just it's a family fight in journalism.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the average listener or viewer or reader of news. They don't care whether ESPN had a story, Deadspin had a story, or Grady and Brief had a story. I had the story at the same time Deadspin had it, and but I'll go one further for you. Manti Te'o is lying. He knew all about this.
All right, now you know this for a fact.
I know for a fact that Manti Te'o is lying, and he knew all about this, and he's letting other people take the blame for it, starting with this Tuiasa Sopo young man, and moving on to other individuals that may later be identified.
Well, but I gotta interrupt you here for just a second, Grady. Do you know this for a fact?
I know what I feel I know. When you say I know it for a fact.
Great. Grady, it's Margaret Gray. I'm a journalist, and I know that we have to have, we have to cite sources. What is your source?
Yes, we do. My source is my feeling that he is a liar. And
so this is your opinion?
No, this is my absolute. There's a difference. Ms. Gray, I know that you're a reporter.
No, there is a difference, but you have to cite a source. If you say something is a fact, you must cite a corroborating source of some kind. You can't just say it's your opinion.
I am citing a corroborating source. I'm saying to you that this is, in my opinion, a fact based upon my source, and my source is me. All right.
Let me do it. Are you a newsman?
No, I'm not.
I'll take questions from either one of you. That's all right.
No, but let me do it. Phil's not a newsman. You can't be. How do you know what you're saying is true?
Did you ask me the question? Do I have a source?
Yes, and you said you are your source.
I am my source, and the reason why I'm saying that I am my source is because I am the source of my conviction. My conviction, you understand?
I have to jump in here.
Go ahead. God, you're not a newsman. You don't know what you're talking about.
I know I'm not a newsman, but I'm asked, Grady, your source...
In other words, I'm going to try and spell this out the best way that I can for your audience. Manti Te'o is in on this up to his neck. What is my source for this? My source, and I believe, and this is the truth. I'll print this tomorrow in the first edition of Grady and Brief. It is absolutely the truth, and my source for this information that Manti Te'o is a liar and is up to his neck in this hoax is me. Now, before you say anything, what do I have any connection to the story?
Yes.
And the answer is I do. I have a deep emotional connection to this story because... He's a liar. You see?
That is not a source of news. That's not a source of information. That is your sense.
When you say you have a source...
I don't expect either one of you to understand. You call yourself a newswoman, Ms. Gray. If you're a newswoman...
I am a newswoman, and I know what a source is. That you are not a source.
I am a source. I am... Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
No, you're not. Not what Margaret's saying.
You're not a newsman at all. I think Ms. Gray pointed that out. So you don't belong in the conversation. I understand it's your program, but you don't belong in the conversation.
Yes, but I do belong in the conversation. You are not... Bud Dickman, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Sinclair is Bud Dickman.
Yes, sir.
If you're the source of the news, that Manti Te'o, I forget it.
Yeah, can I ask one?
Yeah, ask a question. Go ahead.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Robert Leonard, sir.
All right, sir.
Manti Te'o is a...
He's a liar.
No, I know that. I know you think a liar. But I forget.
All right.
Let me tell you, before anybody asks me any more questions, I want to tell you this, and I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. Manti Te'o has said so many things that don't add up. He has said so many things.
Yes, but that is...
Hold on for a minute. Please, please listen to me. Please, before you indict me for not having proper sourcing, before you indict me for saying things, he has said so many things that don't add up. He has said that he was talking about her in the first person as if she existed, even after he said that he found out she didn't exist. He said she existed and found out she didn't. He said that this all the way up to Notre Dame. He talked about meeting her. He never met her. And now you want me to believe, and you too, Mr. Henry, I guess, want me to believe that he spent hours on a phone falling asleep to a dial tone. And,
well, I didn't ask you to believe that.
Well, no, I'm not asking that either.
Well, then why don't you believe my source?
Because you are not a source. You are the reporter.
But I'm telling you, I'm citing myself.
When you write the article for tomorrow,
yes.
When you say that Manti Te'o is a liar and he's in up to his neck in this hoax, you will cite who as your source?
I will say my source is it doesn't want to be named.
Well, you just named yourself here.
Yes, that's correct. But you asked me what I put in print.
All right. Well, why not just say in print?
I guess I could, now that I've said it here on... You know, I forgot that I said it. I get, tomorrow, when I do the article...
See, you don't even know. You're talking right straight through the crack in your...
The crack in what?
The crack in my what? The crack in my pipe? The crack in the ceiling of my house? Or the crack of my ass? Is that what you want to say? Because I know that's exactly what you want to say. If you want to say that I'm talking out of my ass, then say it like a woman. Stand up like a woman. Like a real woman in a skirt, and say it.
You're talking out of your ass.
All right, fine. I will accept that then.
All right. You're also sounding a little squirrely here, okay?
In what way?
You're saying you don't want to name the source. You will not name the source in the article. You already named yourself. So what are you going to say?
I will say that my source is me. I have it from a very credible source that Manti Te'o is a liar and is in up to his neck in this hoax. And my source, who is identified as me. All right, now, you can laugh if you want to.
That sounds like you're mentally deranged.
Yeah.
No. Please listen to me for a moment and stop talking, because I have something I want to say. I know this guy's a lying Polynesian. When I was in the service, and we had run aground on an atoll in Micronesia, and I gave the last $25 I had to a kid in a grass skirt to go get a can of gasoline for our minesweeper. And that's the last I saw this lying, grass skirt-wearing coconut head.
So, racial prejudice...
No, ma'am, it's not racial prejudice.
Well, yes, it is. You said Polynesian.
That's not racial prejudice.
Yes, it is racial prejudice. Yes, it is.
No, it is not. That's the same race. That's a white man. That's a white man.
I don't know what to say. I feel a little ashamed for you.
No, I think that's wrong, sir.
Why is that wrong? Now, you're black, right?
Yes, sir.
You tell me. I will take that credibility from you.
I think it's wrong to say a lying coconut head, because you don't know if he would have got, what do you call it? How do you know he didn't get swept out to sea by a rogue wave?
Are you nuts or something, a rogue wave? Comment on what the man said. Is he racism or not?
You're an idiot, man.
God, that guy that talks like he's talking through a hole in the top of his head, I can't deal with it.
I will tell you this much, Grady. You've rolled out an opinion here that is ridiculous. You're the source for your news story.
Because of the firm commitment I have in my opinion, if you don't want to believe me, you don't have to believe me. That's fine. But I'm telling you, as sure as God made green apples, and as sure as he made coconut milk, about as fattening as anything you've ever had in your life, that guy, the way he looks through his face, is crazier than a wharf rat.
Well, I think you are prejudiced based upon your experience with that minesweeper.
Grady Sinclair, what was it, the Navy?
It was in the Navy, yes, sir.
Well, you're a little too young for World War II, right?
I didn't say it was World War II, did I? I said our minesweeper ran aground. I gave a guy $25 for a can of gas. That's the last time I saw him.
All right, Grady, I thank you very much. Grady in Brief is his website and his news service. You can look for that online, Grady in Brief. And
well, first of all, you can't cite yourself as a source unless you had an interview with the principal and he said it to you. If he said, but then the principal would be the source.
Whose principal?
Principal as the person in the story.
Oh.
And so then you would say my source is Manti Te'o. But he's saying his source, that Manti Te'o is a liar, is him, because he's had experience with what he called a lion Polynesian.
No, he's a lion coconut head.
All right. So the racism of this guy is informing his point of view, and so no one's going to take him seriously.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen.
And that's the tragedy of Grady Sinclair. I've known him for years. He is a damn good reporter, a damn good reporter. But he lets a lot of these points of view slip in. And frankly, I also think that there's some kind of a mental problem there. I don't know that it has anything to do with what Frank has. But it might be an STD. I don't know.
Untreated.
No, he's completely cured. Of course it would be untreated.
All right. We'll be back with more on this story when we come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend, the woman in the photos, she now speaks out. She talked to Katie. No, she talked to the Today Show, excuse me. We'll find out what she had to say. She's real. And so is this Tui Asisopo guy, apparently. We'll talk about it in a moment. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I want to thank you for having me on the program. Am I still on the air?
A little bit.
Well,
I'm...
and I
well, you brought it up during the break, Phil.
I know, but I don't have to talk about it now. I guess I do, now that you guys... I was just saying to the guys, I'd seen repeated over and over again. You probably have seen it many times. Maybe not, but there was a very famous story, a crime story back in the early 70s about a guy that killed his whole family, and then he went on the lam. He just split. They couldn't find him. A guy named John List. You may know the name. You may not. For those of you who are a bit younger, it might have come, appeared on your radar screen sometime in the late 80s when they caught the guy. So it took him almost 20 years, but they caught the guy. They caught him using the TV show America's Most Wanted, you know, John Walsh's show. But they also caught him using, at that point, what at that point was a little used tool for police officers, and that was the forensic creation of someone's age, someone's face. What do we look like years down the road? So they used a clay sculpture, and they got a guy who was familiar with this kind of thing, a guy who worked with police making these clay faces of and aging them. And they asked him, would you please do a sculpture of this guy that we're looking for, John List? What would he look like now?
Well, I've seen that picture.
Yeah, I think I've seen it, too.
Well, it's pretty famous. I mean, I think it's used as an example of an outstanding piece of forensic detail where this guy took pictures of John List and aged him. Because when they finally did catch this guy, John List, he looked exactly like this guy's clay sculpture. I mean, exactly. The dude had, you know, the guy had caught this guy perfect. But what was weird about this story, as I read about it, it's a very spooky, very, very creepy story. This guy, John List, came home one day and decided, probably he'd been planning for it, though, that he was too broke. He was up to his neck in hock. He couldn't afford anything. He had no job. He'd been going off to the train station every day and just sitting and reading the paper, pretending like he had a job so his wife wouldn't know he'd gotten fired. Right there, that's weird. That behavior is right there strange. Then he, would come home. Well, he finally decided the way to get out of all of this was to kill his whole family.
Yes, kill all the family and...
Yeah, I think he killed his mother, but he couldn't lay her out on the floor like he did the other ones because she was too fat, and he wasn't able to haul her down. He would have had to hire some equipment, probably. And then...
All right, bud, we get the idea. His mother was... He shot her in her room and left her up there.
Yeah, because he couldn't haul her down the stairs.
All right, because he couldn't haul her down the stairs. What do you mean, hire equipment?
You can go to U-Haul.
Yeah, that's right. Hi, I'm at U-Haul. I'm going to kill my whole family.
Well, you're not going to tell them you're going to kill your whole family.
All right, hey, U-Haul, do you have anything that I can pull a heavy weight?
Phil, you'd make a bad murderer. No man is going to call U-Haul and say, I need to pull a heavy weight out of a bedroom, down some stairs, and then lay it on a floor.
I wouldn't say that. In any event, he killed his whole family, laid them out side by side on the floor of some ballroom they had in this mansion. I guess at one time this guy List had bread, and killed his mother and left her in her bed. But the wife, John List killed his daughter, for instance, because he felt she was going to hell because she wanted to go out dancing and doing the things that a 16-year-old girl wants to do. He thought that meant she was going to hell, so kill her. Okay, great, fine. The son got killed because, well, you know, we're going to have to kill him because I can't leave him alive. The wife got killed because she had dementia from an untreated syphilis.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here was a woman. She was in her late 40s. When he married her, John List married this woman. She'd been married before.
Oh, my God. And she had untreated syphilis.
Yeah. She had syphilis. Well, she got that from her first husband, some Navy guy. Now, I don't know whether John List knew this or not.
No wonder he shot her.
I don't think that was the case, bud.
But how do you know?
Because what are you going to do, wait 20 years? Probably what you'd do is get the marriage annulled or something. I don't think they found it out, though. I don't think he knew. I think she had it. It was untreated. And then by the time she was in her late 40s, she started, you know, walking, you know, into walls and stuff. And they say, oh, your wife has syphilis, probably got it 20 years ago, probably got it from the sailor she used to go out with. How does that make you feel, Mr. List? And he probably went, just great, went home, cleaned his gun.
That, you don't think that happened?
No, I don't, I'm telling you. I just, I think everything just kind of piled up on this guy, and he finally just, in one explosive decision, decided I'm just going to kill them all, and he did. And he split. And he left his car at the airport, all these interesting little touches. This is 1971, long before the forensic stuff they have today. He was gone, man. And I mean, he was gone for at least almost 20 years, I mean, well into the late 80s. And they finally caught him by way of this forensic sculpture made by this man. He's very famous. I forget his name. He's so famous, I don't know his name.
Yeah, and I notice you don't take the time to find out the man's name. And that, I think, is wrong, Phil. If you're going to point out the wonderful sculpture...
Easy, Margaret. Okay, yes. I'll find out what his name is. Anyway, they found him by the... And they put it on America's Most Wanted, and...
They caught him on America's Most Wanted. It's John Walsh.
Now we know, man. Yes, you're right, bud. And that's how they caught him. They found him in Virginia. He was working some gig, and the FBI walked in and said, "Are you John Walsh?" He goes, "Sure, if that'll keep me from being arrested." They said, "How about John List?" He said, "Yes, that's me too." And they said, "That'll get you arrested." And he went, "Ah, shoot!" Clicked his fingers, clicked his heels, did a little spin, and out he went, putting on his own handcuffs.
Oh my God!
I think you got dementia from the untreated syphilitis.
Hey, shut up, man. Easy. I just knocked my own headphones off. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil.
Somebody fixed my headphones.